the 20th verse of the 5th chapter, where we are now seeing that how the life actually gets transformed because the knowledge comes in life. If there is only knowledge, but there is no connection with that knowledge in life, then the knowledge is like having a hidden treasure which you do not know where it is, and therefore you cannot use it. The treasure, if it is not available, you may be a millionaire, but yet if there is no money available to you, then you cannot really use it. Therefore, it is important that there should be a proper interface, the connection between what is knowledge and then how that knowledge enlightens, enriches our day-to-day living. So, let us see what happens when this knowledge, in the 19th verse, Lord has told that Ihaiva tair jitas sargo yesham samye sthitam manah nirdosham hi samam brahma tasmad brahmani te sthitaha. Even here is the relative existence conquered by them whose mind rests in equality. For Brahman is even and faultless. Therefore are they established in Brahman. Ihaiva. That is, here itself, knowledge transforms the place that you are staying. Your life gets transformed. Not that you get something after your death. Your death is may come, may not come, whenever it has to come someday. But what is promised here doesn't depend that you have to wait till your death to get the benefit of it. Many things are promised otherwise in scriptures, that if you behave like this, now after death you will get something. Now who knows after death what you are going to get? After death, the promises, people don't generally tend to believe in them. Tell me, I do not know what after death, if I get or not, who is there going to see and who is going to complain if I don't get and whom to complain. That's the question, you know, that where to lodge a complaint if I don't get. So therefore, there is a nice story that a little girl was being just cajoled by some guest that had come, that lady had come there to, and she was talking to the little girl. Hey honey, you love me? Yes. Will you give me a kiss? Okay. That girl complied, I'll give you a kiss. Then, do you really love me? Yes, yes. Baby said, yes, I love you really. Then, will you cry when I die? Yes, I will cry. Then the lady went a step further. Show me how will you cry. And then the intelligent little girl said, die first. So otherwise, how will I show that, how will I cry after you die? So after death promises, you know, it are very difficult. So the scriptures, if I say that, well, if you behave like this, like this, like this, then after death, sometimes somebody will take you to some place called heaven. Bhagavad Gita promises something much more tangible than that. Here itself your life will be full of perfection. The perfection that we are seeking. We want everything to be perfect. Even in our looks we like that my hair should be all right, my face should look all right, all these dress should be all right. It is, there should be no dirt or smudge sticking on the dress, and so forth. We want it to be perfect, even in most mundane things. We cook the food, want the taste to be perfect. When we therefore when things are satisfactory, we say, well, perfect. So perfection is our one of our most important cravings in life. And where do you reach this perfection? When you realize this ultimate knowledge that enriches your life and makes it truly perfect. And this is called established in the truth, established in Brahman, the all-pervading reality. This person is established in it. Now, in contrast, we can see that presently our lives otherwise are what established in this world of I and you, all divided. All, you see there, the multiplicity everywhere. And everything is imperfect, needs perfection. As Socrates and Plato always mentioned and maintained that it is not possible in this imperfect world to find that ultimate perfection. So we have to transcend that line and have that oneness experienced. And we see that when that knowledge comes, now the transformation is done. If that knowledge, of course, it is not just information. We have seen that. It has to percolate in one's life, enriching it. So, and what will be the effect of this knowledge in our life, this perfection? It has some signs of manifestation. Just saying that I am established in perfection, well, what is the sign of it? If I say to you, well, I am established in perfection, then you will demand, you know, that what is the difference? And that what is in your life that you will say that you are established in perfection as opposite of I who is not in perfection? So the signs have to be told. So here come the signs. And also, just as they are told as the signs of perfection, they also indicate very beautifully that how one should practice this perfection in life, how one should approach it. So both these things are indicated in this 20th verse. Na prarishet priyam prapya, no dvijet prapya cha priyam, sthira buddhirasam mudho, brahmaved brahmane sthitah. The knower of Brahman, who is established in Brahman, poised in mind and undeluded, is not elated on getting what is pleasant, nor feels worried on getting what is unpleasant. The lives of ordinary people are governed by pleasant and unpleasant feelings. If something is very pleasant, you get it, person becomes elated, very happy. If not, then the person feels dejected. But this person does not have any such feeling of elation and depression, because this person knows that whatever you get is according to the plan of divine. It is it comes to you and everything is fine. Everything is a manifestation of divine, so it is fine. Suppose you get a candy to eat, that is fine. If you don't get a candy to eat, that is also fine. It doesn't make any impact on that. There is a very beautiful song written by great saint Mirabai that the life will have all these dualities, those swings will be there in the external world. But you should not get affected by that. This is an important thing that you cannot make everything in the world according to your desire. But you can immune yourself from it. Like you cannot say that, well, I will make the world in such a manner that there will be no cold out there. I will make an arrangement that there will be no snowfall. Of course, even if you do, there will be problems with that. But what you can do is to protect yourself from cold. You may say that, well, I will arrange heat in my room, I will put on a few sweaters or some such thing. You protect yourself from the changes that take place outside. You should remain always in that serene, calm mood. Whether you win $5 million, doesn't matter, in a lottery you get $5 million. And this person doesn't get elated by that. Even if something happens and loses lot of money, doesn't get affected by that either. People get affected so much by that, it is very difficult to control the swings of emotions. There is a nice story that a man got suddenly this lottery. $5 million. And he was already having some heart problem and was in the hospital. So the wife got the news and told the doctor that, well, should we break it to him right now? Said, no. You see, the doctor said, I will tell him. I will slowly communicate to him so that he will not get that big shock. And the doctor tells him, hey Harry, yes, I am talking to you. Well, in case, you know, it is, the world is like that, and you don't have much money even to pay my bill right now. But suppose, think of that situation. Think of this situation. Suppose you get $5 million. What plans do you have for that? And do you have any plan for $5 million? And this man didn't see any possibility of getting $5 million. So he said casually, oh doctor, I will give you half of it. And the doctor got a heart attack and died. Because the doctor believed it. He knew that there is money at hand to come. This man really didn't believe. He was just thinking that he is joking. So, it is like that. When you get something that you dearly love, you don't know now what to do with it. And if something depressing takes place in life, your face becomes so sulken. Whatever you need to do, that also you don't do. Your behavior with others becomes very bad or irritable behavior. If you are not in good mood, somebody comes to say some nice words to you. Hey, come on, get out! It is because you are now irritated. So, well, I am not in a good mood. You say that. I am not in a good mood, but well, why your mood becomes like that? Can you not control your moods? Why you allow your moods to be controlled by something happening out in the world? It is something, my friend didn't behave well with me today. So therefore you go and scream against to all other people, or just remain inside your room, cover yourself with a thick distinct sheet and lie all the way, do nothing. This is depression, elation and depression. See how much loss people suffer because of these swings of mood. If these moods can be brought under our control, it will be a great help in our just day-to-day life, let alone the spiritual progress and all. But even our day-to-day lives will become composed, so serene and so very productive. It is Therefore, very important that we translate this knowledge into practice. That things happen in the world, sometimes good, sometimes that which you like, and sometimes something that you don't like. Then, think that, something that you don't like may be liked by your brother, your friend got it. Suppose you were seeking some job, you didn't get it, but somebody after all got it, so you say that, not me, but my friend got it, that's fine. So, it's like that. You have to tell this to yourself, because if you say depressed, that doesn't help you at all. Staying depressed means depression is a disease, you know, that you spread all around. Not only you become depressed, people around you, they also then in sympathy to you. The whole atmosphere becomes really a depressing atmosphere. Because one succumbs to these swings of mood, our determination doesn't work. We determine today that yes, I will live this kind of life, I will do my spiritual practices, I will do my studies, I will do my meditations, I will do everything as per this determined plan. But swing of mood comes and you forget next day. In fact, even if you don't forget, you don't like to do it. This is swing of mood. And thus the whole routine, whole plan gets completely washed away. And then next time you feel, even if you want to make a plan, you think that, I just make plans, I don't act upon them. Plans, what is the use of making plans? So I will not make plan at all. So, this is not again a right thing. We should have a disciplined life. When a disciplined life, anything that is disciplined becomes powerful. Because that is the source of power. Just see, there is the boiler with which we use this all this heat and all that. What is it? It is just disciplining the fire that is burning there. If there is no discipline, if the steam is allowed to go anywhere, everywhere, then, we will not be able to use it. There is, therefore, a strict discipline, regularity, a commitment in life for anything. If we don't have it, then we lose a lot. And this knowledge helps us to bring this discipline, and this discipline again helps to get this knowledge too. Those people in whom this knowledge shines forth, the discipline is perfect to perfection. They never get elated or depressed. I have seen such people. It is not that such people only they write in the books. Such people, friends, they are there. That no matter what, they maintain their life very well. They are never elated or depressed. Even if there is a very happy news, that doesn't unsettle them. A little happy news, hey, come on, let us celebrate, have parties, and then all the successes just drowned in that party. So, that doesn't happen with them. Okay, what is there? A little bit something pleasant has happened, but maybe there is something unpleasant. So, Mirabai in her song says, look, that someday I get a nice chariot, a horse carriage to drive in. Some days I have to just go on an ordinary horse. Koi din gaadi, koi din ghoda, koi din paidal chalna ji. On some days I have to just walk on feet. What is there? कोई दिन लड्डू, कोई दिन पेड़ा, कोई दिन फाकम फाका जी, ऑन सम डेज यू गेट नाइस नाइस थिंग्स टू ईट, सम डेज यू हैव टू फास्ट, व्हाट डज इट मैटर, मगन उनमें रहना जी, बी इमर्स्ड इन गॉड, होल्ड ऑन टू गॉड, दीज अदर थिंग्स दे जस्ट कीप ऑन चेंजिंग, डोंट वरी अबाउट देम, डोंट जस्ट वेस्ट यूर स्लीप ऑन दोज थिंग्स, इट इज देयरफॉर दिस इज वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट डिसिप्लिन इन लाइफ टू बी प्रैक्टिस्ड, दैट न प्ररिषेत प्राप्य न उद्विजेत प्राप्य च अप्रियम. So, it is, the knower of Brahman is like that, and he is not deluded by these changes in the circumstances, pleasant circumstances, unpleasant circumstances, let them come, an ordinary person gets deluded by it. That, oh, okay, come on, now this economy is growing. Well, a wise person knows, you know, doesn't get deluded by that. Well, the stocks, their very nature is to rise and fall. Sometimes they will rise, sometimes they will fall. That these are the worldly things, they change like that. It is not that you should get either elated or upset or deluded by that. There are some good days, some not so good days. Some days the business is thriving, some days it is not thriving. So, it is, one should not succumb to these swings. They see that it is like the tides, you know, there is high tide. But you cannot always have high tide, and there is low tide. High tide always is no high tide. It is high because there is a low. So sometimes you have low tide, sometimes high tide. That is the nature of life. This person does not get deluded by that. And then what has happened with him, the next verse says, that why we seek these pleasant things outside is because we do not see the source of all happiness that is already within us. We seek things outside, and if we get them, we feel happy for a moment. Why only for a moment? Because those things give happiness or pleasure for a moment. Then they don't give pleasure anymore. In fact, you like to run away from them. And the unpleasant things also are like that. Because this is where you feel that they are going to give you happiness. But really happiness is not there. It is in your own nature, and this person has found it. The knowledge makes that available to you, and so now you are not running after getting the touch of the pleasant external objects. That is the 21st verse. Bahyasparsheshvasaktatma विन्दत्यात्मनि यत् सुखम् स ब्रह्मयोगयुक्तात्मा सुखमश्नय अक्षयमश्नुते. He whose mind is unattached to the external objects of sense attains to the bliss that is in self. He with his mind identified with Brahman through absorption in it enjoys undecaying bliss. A very important verse. This one and the next one that will follow shows that what we are seeking, the happiness or pleasure, everything that we do, I pursue my school studies, Why? Because I think that after doing these studies, I will get happiness. I run after many other things, thinking that if I get them, I will get happiness. We are looking for happiness in life. One feels if I get married, then I will get happiness. People feel that just by getting married, you may not, but if you get children, then you may feel get happiness. So, we go on expecting these things till we ultimately realize that too, fortunately. Many people do not realize that even after spending many years of life, even when they are old, they still do not realize it. Feel that maybe next time I will get happiness through an object. Do not get this realization that happiness is within me, not in an object. No object, friends. Please feel this truth, because that is the first step towards getting happiness. Let us feel this, that no object, not a single object, friends, has any capacity to give happiness to us. Happiness is all within us. When we run towards any object to get happiness, what is really happening there is that we are running away from the source of happiness. Happiness is in me, and I feel that candy or that man or that woman will give me happiness, and I run to it. Means actually my mind is running away from the source of happiness. Now, how can you get it then? That is what you get in life, therefore, misery. In search of happiness, a person ends up in misery because of this, that we do not go to the source of happiness. It is whatever you seek, you have to go to the source of it. If you don't go to the source of it, you are not likely to get it. If I say want to buy a computer, then I go to the computer stores, where all those places where they are sold, I go there. It is for them, it is because computers are there, I will get them from there. I don't go to a barber shop to buy a computer. If I go to barber will say, well, sorry, this is barber shop. I can cut your hair maybe, but not I cannot sell you a computer. So, when you go towards an object, a person or object, and say, dear candy, or dear man, or dear woman, or dear something, give me some happiness. That object tells us the same thing. I have bondage and misery to give you. You take it from me. I don't have happiness. How can I give you? We all have this problem. If we see this, it is clear, you know, that those objects, they reflect the happiness of the self. When you look at it, then the inner happiness is reflected in those objects, and you feel it is there. Like you see in the mirror, you feel, you see your face, you feel you are there. Of course, with oneself it never happens. And we are perfectly sure that although the mirror is there, I am being seen in the mirror, you know I am not there. But there is this feeling, that there is that reflection, you see these things there, your inner happiness is reflected in an object. and you see, wow, what a nice this thing. If I get it, I will be so happy. You are running to the mirror. Now, it is you touch glass. If you go very hard towards it, you may injure yourself, that's all. That is what happens. So, therefore, but that tells us that if the reflection is there, the thing is here, is it not? The reflection is there, so the thing is in the opposite direction. So, if we turn our search in the opposite direction, we are sure, friends, to get it. So, and how is that happiness? It is not connected with external objects, and akshaya means unending, never waning. Otherwise, all our happiness that we get, seeming happiness, that eating the candy, for example, while you are rolling it in the mouth, you may get a happy sensation for a moment, and then it is all gone, you know. That is, once it goes down from your throat, then you don't get that happy sensation at all. And with every pleasure that we get because of the touch, and touch means not only skin touch. When you are seeing an object, your eye is actually touching in a way that object. Your ear, when you are listening to sound, again the sound is being touched by your ear. So all those are you touch those objects and try to get pleasure from there. They are, even if you feel that sensation for a moment, it goes away. But this person has found the source, eternal source of happiness. And therefore that happiness never, never goes away. It is always there. When Holy Mother, Sri Sarada Devi, she was asked about Sri Ramakrishna, that, well, you were married to Sri Ramakrishna, but it is, you never had that kind of physical relationship. Was that not, you know, your life must have been devoid of all happiness? And her reply was, the day I saw him, there has been a full overflowing pitcher of happiness kept in my heart since that day. Because that is the source of happiness, your true blissful nature. Yes, Sri Ramakrishna there doesn't mean just the external person, but the expression of the perfection. So, when you have that, you have that happiness. If you don't have that, then you don't have it. There are many, if one reads the life of Sri Ramakrishna, we will see that in so many different circumstances, he was, so many times he fell sick, many times he had even fallen and broke this and that. There is a very beautiful incident when his hand broke, when he fell on a railing and broke his arm. Now, a normal person will be in pain. So, Sri Ramakrishna was showing lot of pain. Oh my, so much of ache and pain. And would call the doctor, see this is, and would cry like anything. Oh, my arm is giving so much pain. When he was trying to tell to a devotee, look, it is giving so much of pain. He told to Sri Ramakrishna, stop it. I know you are in perfect bliss. The hand is broken, but that doesn't make you sad, you know. It is, we If you see Sri Ramakrishna in his last mortal days, when he was suffering from terrible cancer, and those were the days no morphine, so you can imagine how much pain and suffering would be there. His body was just reduced to bones. He was a really well-built person. But if you see that photograph, you will see they were just a few bones, such emaciated body. And yet, in that state, not only he was happy, he used to distribute happiness to everyone who used to be in his company. Because they were in touch of the source, so they were getting that happiness in his life. All these scriptural lines become meaningful only when seen through the life in which they are reflected. It is without the life these sentences have not much meaning. Sometimes Swami Vivekananda was asked, all these sayings of scriptures and Vedanta, they sound very lofty and poetic. Are they practical? And Vivekananda's reply was very significant. He said, not that they have been just written down. First, they have been experienced by people, and those experiences have been narrated in those scriptures for the benefit of others. It is not that somebody just wrote them and now you have to worry whether they are practical or not. No, they are actually the records of one's practical life. The sages lived life of that enlightenment, of all this sameness, that equanimity, maintaining equanimity in all different circumstances. Many times, you see, Sri Ramakrishna was very badly insulted. But he did not become morose, therefore. He just kept his equanimity. He was showered tremendous honor. A great scriptural scholars and spiritually enlightened people came to see Sri Ramakrishna, and they proclaimed not only verbally to Sri Ramakrishna to praise him, but in big meetings, that Sri Ramakrishna is incarnation of God. So much of praise has been heaped, but that did not touch Sri Ramakrishna at all. See, if you praise me a little bit, I become so happy. Swami, you gave such a nice talk. And Swami, your talk made no sense. So, it is... this is because the difference is the knowledge has just become natural there. In those sense, the knowledge just is showing in all these actions. And therefore, this idea that all the happiness is really somewhere else. No, happiness is in you. And if you look at it, you find it. Otherwise, keep on getting misery in the name of happiness. That becomes the life. And then you give them nice names, that's all. Giving nice names you went to get happiness, but then you didn't get it. So, then you say that, what to do? Let us call that happiness. When you get blows, call them that, say that somebody is massaging me. You just give the different words, but that doesn't change the situation. So, therefore, when you get the experience of this great truth, then their life gets completely transformed. Then your happiness is not mortgaged in any object or any person or any situation. If it is mortgage, if somebody else is controlling your happiness, then how can you get it? It is not under your command. If your happiness, suppose, is kept with your wife or with your husband or with somebody, then how can you be master of it? No chance, you know. If the wife releases it, then you may get it. If the husband releases it, then you may get it. And you will see that they have no capacity to release it because they themselves are begging for it. Everybody, it is like you are writing a check on a bank that is already shut down. You know, so you won't get anything from it. So, therefore, it is important that we should have our happiness with us. Why put it in that some object that if the candy or some ice cream, it will give me happiness? Okay, keep on begging. And then you eat a chunk of ice cream, then you feel, I should have eaten more, you know, then I may get happiness. Only this ice cream wasn't enough to give me happiness. Let me eat 5 pounds. Then it is all silly. Because you will not be able to even look at ice cream if you try to eat more, you see. The situation with all such things is just getting more and more bondage. And therefore, the next verse, tells it very clearly. It is a very strong verse and it had a big impact on me when I had read it for the first time. I was a college going student then, and this tallied with my experience so much, but nobody had told it to me before in such clear-cut terms as this verse. A very clear expression that it says, Yehi sansparshaja bhoga dukha yunaya evate adyantavanta kaunteya nate shuramate buddhah. Enjoyment born of sense objects are indeed the sources of misery. They have, O son of Kunti, a beginning and an end. The wise man does not rejoice in them. The wise man, wise woman, whatever it is, does not rejoice in them because they are seen as the sources of misery. And they are seen clearly as the sources of misery. And therefore, a wise man does not go to get happiness from those contacts. Sansparshaja bhoga, that it is enjoyment born of sense objects. Actually, the Sanskrit word is much more intense. It says all the happiness that is born out of contacts. It doesn't say even happiness. It uses a very beautiful word, bhoga. Bhoga means what comes to you. Give it a name, happiness or sadness. In fact, bhoga is what now you have to suffer is many times called bhoga. They use this term in Hindi or other Indian languages. This is the bhoga written on my forehead, you know. That is why I am suffering all this. This bhoga is you go for something happy in life and you get into the contact. It is like the mouse getting trapped, you know. The mouse is there, that mouse sees something, a bait there. It doesn't see it as bait, it sees it as something very nice and goes to eat it. Hey, gone, trapped. So we get trapped in those things and no way to escape. So therefore, the wise, sometimes the mice become wise. They understand that it is a trap. Once they somehow escape, then they don't get into the trap. And human beings are not always that wise. They get into the trap again and again, want to get into the trap, thinking that next time they will not get caught. But it doesn't happen like that. So, any pleasure that you see in an object and go there, what is that? It is a trap. Sounds very depressing sometimes. Well, but then I have all these desires, what to do with them? Well, we shall try to discuss that in the next class. This is a very important verse. Today it is already 8:30, so we shall stop this discussion. If you have some questions, we can look into them. So, since we don't have any, you don't have any questions, and we shall conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarai Yasvayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmadvine Srita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantraha Tasya Namaniyani Karma Pekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.